Welcome to the Breakout CEO Podcast, the show where ambitious founders and scaling CEOs share how they put insight into action and spark pivotal moments, bold moves, and powerful mindset shifts. From building technology and growing teams to navigating pressure and pushing through plateaus, this is where real leaders talk about what it takes to level up in both business growth and leadership skills. I'm Jeff Holman, attorney and founder of Intellectual Strategies. I work behind the scenes with scaling CEOs and get a front row seat to the decisions that drive breakout success. On this show, you'll hear directly from exceptional CEOs about their breakout moments so you can learn how they navigated the risks and opportunities while scaling a business from startup to success. Let's get started. Welcome back, everybody, to the Breakout CEO Podcast. I'm Jeff Holman, and I am only here because I want to talk to really cool people like Darren Pulsifer. Can I call you Darren Pulsifer or Dr. Darren Pulsifer? Yeah, that's your website.
Call me Dr. Darren. That's my moniker now. That's nice. What my students call me, because no one can say Pulsifer, but you did a great job.
I grew up with a soccer friend who was a Pulsifer, so maybe I from there. But Dr. Darren, it is awesome to have you on the podcast today. I was looking over your bio. I cannot do it justice, but you've been at Intel for a long time in a really important position. You can mention maybe a little bit about that. And you do a bunch of other stuff. You mentioned your students. You teach at Vanderbilt. Is that right?
Yeah, I teach an online classes at Vanderbilt Masters in Computer Science. And having a lot of fun doing that. That's a new thing I just started about a year ago.
Very cool.
And it's been insightful. It's been great to go to the other side a little bit and see what academia is all about. And then I'm the chief solution architect for public sector at Intel. And then just like you, I'm a podcaster as well. So
yeah, I think you've got a couple podcasts and you had me on one. Thank you for that. And when I talked to you, I'm like, I hadn't started my podcast at that point, but when I did, I'm like, I got to talk to Dr. Darren. So
it's been 5 years in the making. I've been running it for 5 years. And we finally hit some saturation and things went viral this last month. And we became the number one technology podcast world on Apple Podcasts, which I'm so excited
about. Congratulations. Yeah.
And I'm up there fighting with the big boys and they keep crushing me every week. I drop one slot and then I go up a slot and things like that. So it's fun to look at the charts. And I have no idea how I got there. It just tenacity. Maybe that's what it is.
And humility, it sounds like, maybe.
Yeah.
You're in the arena. It reminds me, I was in Greece with my family this last summer, and you walk through all those ancient ruins. And we walked through one, where was it? Ancient Olympia, and the little post in the kind of ruins talks about where this is where the fighters would come to prepare and be. You're in that same arena. You're with those other people.
Now. Yeah.
So that's fantastic.
And it's scary. Because I have no idea how I got there. So I'm like, okay.
Hey, you're nothing to be scared of. You're there. You didn't know how you got there.
Yeah.
It sounds like a great place to be.
Blissfully ignorant, I guess is the right word.
There we go. And you've done a bunch of other things. I think you're a board member on maybe some companies. You've got some other initiatives you're doing. So I'm really glad that you saved some time and set it aside so we could chat today.
We had so much fun talking on my show when you came on. A great insight. So I said, hey, yeah, let's talk to Jeff again. This time the tables are turned so you could ask the questions.
Yeah, I'm excited to do that. My first question though, I just want to follow up because we talked about, I have this little framework for strategy that we talked about a little bit on your podcast. I'm curious, has anything come of that since we spoke?
I took parts of what you had. I love the way you laid it all out, the five different steps or five different elements of your strategy. I laid all that out. I actually put it into ChatGPT. And then I said, hey, because I'm a big Gen AI guy, right? So I said, hey, here's all my junk over here, because I'm all over the place, right? And I said, apply this methodology to all of Darren's stuff that he's got going on. And it helped me focus. It did a great job. It said, okay, this is where you need to, what are the key principles that drive you and where you want to see your business down the road? And it helped. So yeah, I thought, hey, that's great. I created a strategy, mission, vision document for a production company that my wife and I had started to handle the podcast and all the other things I do. I'm a professional speaker as well. And so, yeah, it's because of your framework and ChatGPT, it really set things so I wasn't going chaotic all the time. I'm just going straight forward chaotic instead of all over the place chaotic.
I love that. Yeah. No, it's been a framework I've messed around with and been developing off and on for the last dozen years or so. So I'm really glad to hear that. So if you ever want to deep dive on that offline, I'd be
interested. Yeah, we'll have to do that.
That's fantastic. Today, we're going to move the needle a little bit the other way, though. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the breakout moments, maybe that either you've had in your career or in the businesses that you've worked with, or maybe some of the businesses you've influenced from speaking or whatever. And before the recording, you and I were chatting just a little bit for some context for the audience here. We were chatting that sometimes breakout moments are these really successful, awesome highlights in your career. And other times breakout moments are the awesome insights you gain from the other side of the coin, right? Yeah, things didn't go well, but you walked away with that new perspective that really catapulted you into your career or into that next phase, right? And I think I did that a little bit with just maybe for some more context. I think that was partly what my path was when I said I'm doing patent law and then I'm going to go in-house because I want to be more general and I want to help these companies that are raising money and growing. And when I did that, I don't know if it was a mistake per se, because it was really good experience, but I realized that I'd been practicing law the wrong way as an attorney, I'll call it, instead of as a business partner. And that really is the insight through that brief period when I was in-house that led me to create the fractional legal team, to create intellectual strategies, the law firm now. And so it wasn't, I don't know if it was a tragedy or a failure or a success, but what we're doing now came out of that rough period, if I can call it that. It's what I chose, but it's maybe not what I expected, but coming out of it really was defining for me. And I'm really curious to hear maybe a story or two, and you can share the successes or the others.
Well, yeah, so they're tied together. So when I first started my career, I'm a software engineer by trade. And I'm sitting there as a junior software engineer out of college. I'm looking at my management going, you guys don't know how to manage squat. I was like, gosh, I could do better than
that. How old were you at the time?
I was 25.
Yeah.
Yeah, working for a couple of years, maybe 26, 27. I said, I'm going to go get a math MBA because surely they can teach me how to manage software engineers. So I went and got my MBA. And I learned through that no one can manage software engineers. It's impossible.
I was going to say, it's
all the management techniques, yeah. It doesn't matter. And I'm one of them, right? So I know I'm unmanageable. But that moment when I realized that business schools really didn't know how to deal with highly technical or intelligent workforce, all the business schools had been lined up to have workers 9 to 5. And I was in Silicon Valley during the dot-com boom. You don't work 9 to 5. You work crazy hours and you work on weekends. And sometimes you don't work in the middle of the day because you were up for the last 5 days, whatever the case may be. And that passion drives a lot of people in Silicon Valley and in my industry, software guys. It's a passion thing more than anything. That takes a completely different way of thinking of management. So I took that attitude when I started managing people and eventually became a CIO kind of out of necessity or out of some of my own hubris, frankly, because I was a chief architect at a company and I had developed a technology that helped that company really optimize their testing and building of their software. And I wanted to spin that out of the company and start my own company. I raised money, the whole thing. And
was this still in the dot-com era?
Dot-com era.
Yeah.
Dot-com bust.
Yeah.
Early 2000s, 2002, 2003 timeframe. Yeah. 2004, maybe in that timeframe. Raised a good chunk of money to spin this out of this company with the VC arm of the company and a couple other VCs. I said, hey, I've got this all lined up. I got a killer team all put together. And the CIO of our company stopped it. He says, this is really too much of a competitive advantage. We don't want our customers, our competition to have it.
So, don't roll it out.
I was mad. Yeah, don't roll it out. So I walk into his office with my badge in hand and I put it on his desk. And I said, here are my demands or I'm leaving. And I walked out of there without a job. That's hubris. That's not too smart. And when you go home after work that night, you say, oh, honey, by the way, I don't have a job anymore. And then, of course, he slapped me with a non-compete because I was living in a state at the time that was not a right-to-work state. So they slapped me with a non-compete. And then a friend of mine said, Darren, why don't you come over here and run this IT department for the startup that I have, which was not high-tech. And so what was interesting about that whole thing was I had to take a risk because I felt like I had already maxed out where I was at. Yeah. And then even though I took a huge risk, I also had to look for other opportunities because when you take big risks like that, you also have to be able to pivot as you need to. And that was something I learned through that experience was I was dead set on doing this startup. And I was trying, I hired lawyers, the whole thing to try and make it happen. And there was a roadblock. It was a $1 billion company. They had better lawyers than I could hire.
Right? More expensive at least, right?
Yeah, more expensive. Yeah, exactly. So I was at this crossroads going, what do I do? And then a friend of mine said, hey, come run this. Non-high tech. I've been in high tech my whole career. I'm like, a juice company. It was a multi-level marketing juice company. I'm like, come on, this is way below what I can do.
So it wasn't based out of Silicon Valley, was it?
No, it was not. It was based in Silicon Slopes before it was Silicon Slopes. It was Lehigh.
A lot of that going on here in Utah for sure.
Yeah.
Well, can I pause there? Because I'm super curious.
Yeah.
When you go home and you talk to your wife and you tell her this, because I've got a wife and I've got kids and we've all had these moments, and you also called yourself unmanageable, a word that I've used for myself because somebody labeled me one time with it was ungovernable. Oh, I know you, Jeff, you're ungovernable. I'm like, yeah, that's probably a really fitting word. I don't know if that's quite the same word you'd go for with unmanageable.
I would go for, that's a killer word. I think that's a great word because I actually want a lot of people that will go beyond what they're told to do.
Yeah.
I don't want to micromanage people. I want people to think on their own, to be critical thinkers. And the whole management style that we're taught in MBA school is all about micromanagement, frankly.
How do you get the expected results, right?
Yeah, yeah. And you see it in a lot of executives today, especially this whole back to return to office stuff. What? Did you not see the productivity that was happening? Yeah, but people aren't working. They're working for other companies too. And I go, does that matter? Are they getting their work done? The results-based management doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And that's a big problem. It's like butts and seats. I just need people they just need to be in the office. Why? You're not.
That's what they're used to.
That's what they're used to. So even still today, we don't do a good job. And it's not just America that happens. I see that in Japan. I see that in Europe, in a lot of places all over. But there's still a lot of really passionate people about what they do. And they will jump through hoops for a company as long as they get to do what they want to do. And that's why I was unmanageable. But my managers would even tell you my productivity was through the roof. Because I learned how to leverage technology to make my job easier. And that was a passion of mine. Right.
So the question I want to ask is, for the CEOs out there that have family, because there's this aspect of chaos in startups and we just accept it, right? But when you label yourself as unmanageable or maybe ungovernable, I think from my own experience and my wife's experience with me, that's a dynamic that plays in, it's larger than the office. It's larger than the business. How have you navigated that? Has that been manageable to be unmanageable?
Yes, it is. My wife has figured it out. So
nice.
But it's come with some understanding. When you have someone that is an entrepreneur like yourself and myself, we're always going beyond what we get paid to do.
Yeah.
Because we're always trying to find a better way to do something. It's not about the money. For true entrepreneurs, it's not about the money. It's about doing something different and new and exciting instead of, I put my time in at the office today. And a lot of times we need some grounding by our spouse, by our significant other. To say
grounding, you mean, hey, maybe don't be unmanageable all the time. Let's.
Yeah. You have a family, don't forget. And not only that, but come in and say, all right, I need you now instead of, and the kids need you now. And balancing that it can be difficult, especially when you're so passionate about something that you lose track of time. And that happens to people that are like that.
Yeah,
how can you sit and work on that problem for 24 hours? It's been 24 hours? I had no idea.
And that's what a lot of scaling CEOs find themselves in by nature and by business, by the nature, personal nature, and by the nature of their role, they end up in that. So it's something we have to navigate, right? So
we have some ways of doing that. Like my wife and I, when we go on vacation, we're the best vacationers in the world. We forget that we have anything at all going on. But when we go and sit at the beach, she'll read a book and I'm sitting there going, I don't like to read fiction and I want to program a genetic algorithm. Is that okay? And she goes, as long as it's not work. I says, oh, okay. It's not work. It's fun for me. She goes, you can't monetize whatever you're working on. I said, okay, it's just for fun. Right.
But I now have images
like that is always going to need to feed that passion. And so you've got to work out ways of incorporating that in everything that you do.
Yeah. I now have a wonderful image of you and I don't know your wife, but you and your lovely wife sitting on a beach somewhere, her reading a book. And
I have a laptop.
A laptop, but specifically you're now in my vision, you're programming out your generative AI agent to work on your strategic positioning based on our prior conversation. That's the vision I want to hold in my head right now.
That's exactly what it is.
Don't worry, I'm not going to monetize it. It's just this something I talked to this guy about, and it's just for fun.
It's for fun. But you also need to take that time to step back and say, okay, I need some balance for a little bit. We're always unbalanced, but sometimes the balance needs to be more on those personal relationships. So they're extremely important for you to survive, especially for new CEOs and startups. Surround yourself by people that understand and love you regardless, and spend time with them. Don't lose that.
Yeah, that makes sense. Thank you. Thank you for letting me detour on this, maybe a little bit personal track here.
Back to that pivotal moment, though. You have to make your own moments. And sometimes it's staring at you in the face and you got to just jump. Because I already took that one risk when I put my badge on the table and says, I'm going to do this startup. I said, you can't stop me. They did stop me.
Yeah. And it's a big jump.
Curled up into a ball and died, right?
Yeah.
I could have. Instead, another window opened up over here and I was like, okay, I'll give it a shot. Turned out to be incredible for my career because I was the CIO of a company that grew hyper growth. When we started, they were doing maybe $3 or $4 million a month. 2 years later, we were doing $80 million a month. Wow. We had one building when I left. We had almost like six or seven buildings and 1,500 people in the organization. And I got to help an organization get through that growth. And it was an interesting experience for sure. But 2 years of that, I needed to get back into high tech.
Yeah, that's outstanding growth. What kind of pressures did that create for you?
Oh gosh, that's where I got all my white hair. It was crazy, right? It was The things that we did were just outrageous. Just to keep the business going was crazy. And I learned how to talk to executives and board members because I answer directly to the board of directors. And so I learned details are not necessary. High level, make decisions. So it taught me quite a bit about working with executives. You don't give them all the details.
That's such an important skill.
In the details. So you've got to think strategically. You have to make decisions, and you have to stand behind your decisions that you make.
Yeah, no, I think that's one of the things that I took away from my MBA was because I was an engineer and a lawyer, but not necessarily a business person. Going and getting my MBA didn't make me a business person, but it gave me the vocabulary to start to become a business person, start to have conversations at the level with the executives and the board members. And there were still times I stumbled and I'm like, oh, I think they're going to fire me after I sit down, but we'll see what happens.
No, they just laughed at you after you left the room. That's all.
That probably happened too. But it's certainly a skill that you have to, if you're going to be raising money, if you're going to be working with executives, you're going to be the CEO, like you've got to have that skill set, don't you?
You do. And part of it is knowing the level of detail that you need to give to them so that they can get what you need from them.
Yeah. I'm curious, was there also a lot of political kind of...
Gosh.
I mean, there's a lot of position, like pre-game work, right? I say that and I'm reminded my daughter just went to college and she said, Dad, they had this dance and a bunch of girls went over to this dorm and did pre-gaming. And I'm like, what do you mean pre-gaming? I'm like, oh, they were drinking. So that's not what I mean. So I want to differentiate from that. But in board meetings, what I found out through the process was the executives and the board members, they're just having all these pre-game meetings where they're saying, here's what we want to do. Here's how we're going to do it. Here's what we're thinking.
Getting buy-in. The decision is made before you go into the room. 100%.
Yeah. I didn't know that the first time I went in. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. I learned that the hard way too. And the other thing I learned was the board does not like surprises. Do not come into a boardroom with something they do not know about.
Yeah.
Because that will always go sideways on you. You want to stack the deck when you go into a boardroom. And when you're asking, especially for money, you need to already have people lined up in there that understand that, that can support you. And that's the way it's done. It's not one meeting that makes or breaks it. You've got to have it all stacked up.
Yeah. These are such important points. I hope I'm not distracting from the main point that you're sharing with us, but I love the being able to dig
But that's the whole point, I guess, I was trying to make. I could not have run that startup effectively without becoming a CIO first. Because I learned so much in that environment with that hyper growth, with someone else's money instead of mine, and we were making money. Oh, it was growing on trees. It was crazy, craziness. But the key that I learned there was how to actually sit in that executive position, which was very different from managing people. I'm now managing organizations. And that's a very different skill set than managing individuals. And it took some time for me to figure out the management up. The management down, I got that. But when I went in there, I already knew how to do that. And my team would say that. Darren knew how to manage. He knew how to get us all rowing in the same direction and did that. It was the managing up part that I hadn't figured out until I had been in there for about 6-7 months. And then I went, okay, I'm starting to get the groove of this. I'm starting to understand how this works. Some people call that politics. And in some respects, it is.
Which one for a scaling CEO, a CEO who's maybe made it through the first trenches, they've gone that 0-1, they've built a team, they've got steady revenue, and they're like, okay, we've maybe mostly nailed our business model, our product, our team is good or good enough. Let's scale this thing. Is it the managing down or the managing up from your perspective that is more important? Or is
managing up once you get past that point? Once you've built a killer team and you're all rowing in the same direction, they all understand the strategy, it's that managing up that's the difficult part. And most founders, and I think you'll see this, you probably learned this in MBA school too. Most guys that start a company can't take it all the way to a $1 billion company.
Yeah. Do you think that's a direct factor from not being able to manage up? They get through the managing down phase, but when they start to have to manage up, it's that just different skill set. Is that, you think that's the, like the transition point possibly?
I think it is. And there's very few people that can do it. Very few, but there are some that can. But history's rife with a whole bunch of founders that were pushed off onto the side.
Yeah. Yeah.
And other people have come and run the companies. So it's important that you have to decide who you want to be as a founder. Are you the visionary? Are you the one that's has the vision moving forward with new product ideas or new ways of doing things? Or are you the one that's taking it to $1 billion CapEx and you don't mind doing mergers and acquisitions and talking to CEOs and Fortune 100 companies?
So for the scaling CEOs who's in that situation or maybe facing that, well, like, should they be like, from your perspective, should they start to identify some of the maybe signals that they're reaching that point? And if so, what would those signals be, do you think?
Oh, that's the hardest part because you don't know, right?
And everything is dynamic, right? You're still so dynamic, working in chaos.
And no one wants to say, I left too early. No one ever wants to say that. There's a couple examples of that, of some people like one of the founders of Microsoft left early, right? And there's a list of them out there. But so this one's a tough one. Maybe some introspection or find, here's probably the best advice I would have. Find a mentor outside of your industry.
Okay. So not one of your directors, not somebody you're reporting to. Don't ask them necessarily.
Or right? Anyone that you compete with. Yeah. Find someone outside of your industry as an executive mentor and say, when is the time? And you want to pick someone that you can trust and someone that you want to pattern your journey with or through. If it's a visionary, then, you know, match yourself up to a visionary, but you've got to decide who you want to be in the end. And if it's all just about money, you're going to fail.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to take the passion. Why you started something in the first place, you got to take that passion and figure out what you're going to do with it. Is it the passion that I'm bought in with, or is it building something big? If it's building something big, now you're an executive that can grow it. If it's because it's a passion play of yours, and you're not the right person to grow beyond.
You're not going to scale that thing to the moon. That's got to be tough because a lot of CEOs, the ones I work with, I'm sure a lot that you work with, they have to be so locked in that they are achieving.
It's hard to see
the
themselves.
Business. What's that?
It's hard to see themselves.
Exactly. Right. I like that phrase. But that's what you're suggesting is, despite being so hyper-focused on achieving what the business needs, there's got to be maybe this peripheral vision to say, am I in the arena I need to be in, to go back to our metaphor?
Yeah. Yeah. Am I in the way?
Still in the right arena.
Yeah. You could be in the way of making it big. I've seen that happen before too. So that's why someone outside that can see and watch that you can trust and not a competitor. That's always, you should leave. Yeah, absolutely. You should leave. Or you're someone that would purchase you. You don't want those as your mentors. Those are not good mentors. Yeah. Those are business partners. Those are not mentors. A mentor has no stake in the game except for your success individually. That's the best kind of mentor to have.
Man, I think we all need more mentors. That's one of the things that some people are really good at, and other people, I think, maybe wander in the woods for a long time without mentors, and they just...
I did for a long time.
Yeah. I'm curious because you've done so much, you're sharing your experience here, but you speak on things like, does some of the subject matter that you speak on, is it a resource that some of our scaling CEOs might turn to if they're curious about this topic we're talking about, that transition period?
Absolutely. I consult with companies, startups, and mature companies on their digital transformation. And then my podcast is available, Embracing Digital Transformation. And then I also have Embracing Digital This Week, which is a newscast that I just changed my format on that, where I produce these small vignettes every day on what's changing in technology and how to adopt it. And I always tell people, when you're looking at change, it's people, process, and then technology. So that people aspect, even yourself, you've got to realize where you're currently at in order to leverage technology to help you get better. And so I do consulting. I have a speaking business that helps other people with their digital transformation.
Yeah. Very cool. Very cool. Yeah. It's such a, I don't know, the word that comes to mind is savage, but it's such a, I don't know if that's the right word. It's just such a chaotic place to be if you're
in, especially right now,
trying to lead stars. Yeah. With AI right now. And is AI what's the debate? It's a tool. No, it's a technology. No, how do we leverage it? It's tough for people in business. If you don't have an AI aspect to your business, should you be creating one? And it's just such an interesting place to be in. But that's,
it reminds me of the late 90s in Silicon Valley with the dot-com boom. My first startup I did was not a internet company. And when I went searching for money, everyone said, what's your web strategy? And I go, there's no web strategy. It's not a tool.
You don't have a website? That. Websites are the new technology. No, yeah, they're a tool.
There's nothing there. But AI is very different. It spans everything. So much more than what we saw with the rise of the internet. It's pervasive. So it'll be interesting to see how this all figures itself out in the end.
Yeah. I'd love to get maybe one kind of parting tip from you. Maybe it's AI based, maybe it's not. What is there a way that scaling CEOs, people who maybe it's first time, maybe it's second time they're down this path, but they're going from 10 to 20 million or 20 to 50 million, and they're just riding that wave, trying to get in the right spot at the right time. Is there a way to leverage AI really, like truly to their advantage? Like not just the company's advantage, but the individual CEO. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Give AI garbage work to do for you.
Yeah.
Have it just take care of mundane things that maybe you like to do because it's a distraction on you thinking strategically. I found myself doing that. I'm like, all right, I'm going to go do this for an hour because my brain just needs some repetitive just. And then an hour goes by and it's 3 or 4 hours have gone by and I'm doing something that's not high value that an AI could have done for me. So look at leveraging AI to do low value types of work for you so you can focus on more high value. The other thing I would say is leverage generative AI to spur more ideas and get your brain moving. Use it as something that is a catalyst for creative thought, not a crutch for thinking creatively or strategically. That, I think if you do that, you'll find a lot of benefit in what you're doing. But you have to have your strategy and your vision all written down. If you don't, you're going to be all over the place. And without that, you're not going to grow your company at all.
Yeah. I'd love to dig into a bunch of these topics more, but I'm respectful of your time and really do appreciate that you spent this time sharing these thoughts with us today.
Thanks for letting me come on your show.
Anytime. This has been a blast. We're just getting kicked off here. It's great to have such wonderful people here to help kick this off. Any last word that you want to share with anybody? I know I just said that again, but I just feel like maybe there's one more tidbit of advice that you've got for us.
Go out and visit my podcast. I got to push my podcast. Push. I would just say, just go out there and embrace. I would say embrace the digital revolution. It's here. Don't stick your head in the sand. Go out and when I say embrace, it's a term that I pick specifically because if I do embrace something, I understand it really well. And then I can control it. I'm just loving it and it controls me. No, I'm in close like jujitsu. I'm in close. I'm embracing. I control the situation.
Yeah.
That's what I mean by embrace. So go out and learn these new things, embrace it, get close to it, and then you can manipulate it. You can leverage it and you can become augmented.
I love that. Give us the names of your podcast again, because you have both of those.
Embracing Digital Transformation and then Embracing Digital This Week. And Embracing Digital This Week is in 8 languages. It's my newscast. Obviously, I don't speak 8 languages, but my podcast does. So I'll let you think a little bit about that one.
That's fantastic. And your website, if somebody wanted to bring you in to speak on a topic, where do they get a hold of you?
Yeah, drdarrenspeaks.com.
Awesome. And we'll put that into the show notes and share that with the audience.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot, Jeff.
Yeah, Dr. Darren, thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure having you. And thanks to our audience of the Breakout CEO. We're so glad you're here to listen to us and hopefully take a few insights away from the conversations we're having. See you next time. Thanks for listening to the Breakout CEO podcast. If today's conversation brought value or sparked ideas, I'd love for you to share this episode with a founder or leader in your network. If you're a scaling CEO with a powerful breakout story or an insight to share, make sure to apply to be a guest on our podcast at go.intellectualstrategies.com. Also, be sure to follow or subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. And if you enjoy the show, a rating or a review goes a long way. Our mission is to promote the stories of breakout CEOs in scaling SaaS, e-commerce, and tech companies to equip peer CEOs with valuable perspectives and confidence. Thanks again for joining us on this episode of the Breakout CEO. I'm Jeff Holman, and I'll see you next time.